On May 17th, 2014, the University of Texas was having their graduation of their students at the commencement address. And that commencement address was given by Admiral William McCraven, 36-year Navy SEAL. Stood up there in a big white uniform, had a chest full of medals. Gave one of the best speeches I've ever heard. I would like to read you that speech and adapt it to our Christian life today. So part of what I will be saying is his speech, and part will be my interpretation of it. He stood up there and he said, "The slogan of Texas University is, 'What starts here changes the world.'" I have to admit, I like it. What starts here changes the world. Matthew 5 and 14 says we are the light of the world. We're not to hide our light, but to hold it up and give light to everyone. The 16th verse says to let your light shine before men so that they can see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, today in this congregation, there's approximately 50 people here. And according to a very trustworthy source, ask.com, the average American will meet 10,000 people in their lifetime. That's a lot of folks. And if every one of those people, these 50 people here, were to change the lives of just 10 people, just 10, you would be amazed at how the numbers add up. 500 the first generation, 5,000 the next, 50,000 the next, 500,000 the next, 5 million the next. So in 5 generations, 125 years, you'd be saving over 500,000 people. A couple more generations, and you'd save everybody in the whole planet. It's amazing how fast it can grow. So if you think it is hard to change people's lives, the lives of 10 people, change their lives forever, you're wrong. It happens every day. People's lives are changed forever, every day. Sometimes by the most random things that you will never know. There's a documented case of a military officer came to a fork in the road. Go left or right, going on the road to Baghdad. Hesitated and went to the right. On the left, there was an IED bomb that would have killed their whole squad. He didn't do anything that he knew was special. He didn't make an informed decision, but he did his best and ended up saving a lot of souls. Random small things that we can do that we may not think would be much can change the souls of everybody. And we can start right here today. And think about it. You might not just save that one person, but their spouse, their children, their children's children. Generations of people can be saved through just one Christian's decision to reach out. A small gesture. Helping someone. Giving them a ride. Providing a meal. Saying a prayer in a public restaurant. And people see you praying and knowing that you represent God at that moment. So the question is, what will the world look like if we all do that? Well, I'm confident it will look much, much better. So, humor this old soldier for a minute, because many of the lessons that I've learned came from the military. And while many of these lessons were learned in the military, I can assure you that it matters not whether you ever served a day in uniform. It matters not if you're a man or a woman, black, white, or brown, rich or poor, American or other. All of our struggles are similar. the lessons to overcome those struggles and to move forward. Changing ourselves and the world around us will apply equally to all. So, military training was one of the hardest things I've been through. It changed my life and it taught me many valuable lessons. It began in basic infantry training. It's long runs, cold nights, obstacle courses, calisthenics, sleep deprivation. Navy SEAL training is worse. Well, I didn't go through it. I know much of what they did go through. It's 6 months of being constantly harassed by professionally trained warriors who seek to find the weak of mind and the weak of body and eliminate them from becoming a Navy SEAL. This training also seeks to find those students who can lead in an environment of stress, chaos, failure, and hardships. That training is a lifetime of challenges crammed into 6 months. So there are 10 lessons that have learned from that military training that I think would be valuable to each and every Christian here today as we move forward on our journey to salvation. Every morning during basic training, our instructors, who at that time were all Vietnam veterans, would show up in the barracks room. The first thing they would inspect was our bed. If you did it right, the corners would be square, the covers pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack, which is military for bed. It's a simple task, mundane at best, yet every morning we are required to make our bed to perfection. It seems a little ridiculous at times, particularly in the light of the fact that we're aspiring to be soldiers, tough fighters. But the wisdom of this small act has been proven many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never do the big things right. Well, imagine the Christian act of making your bed is to say a prayer. Get up in the morning. If you say a prayer in the morning, you will have accomplished your first Christian act of the day. You will set the tone for your day, reminding yourself that you are devoting that day to being a servant of God. Just as your bed must be made properly, so should your prayer be. A prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude for a new day, a new chance to do good. A well-made bed is a satisfactory task, and it does encourage a person to continue on to more heavenly tasks, to find satisfaction in doing the little things right. A well-thought-out prayer is equally as important to the soul as making the bed is to the body. If you want to change the world, start off your day by saying a prayer. During Navy SEAL training, the students are broken down into boat crews. Each crew is 7 students, 3 on each side of the dinghy and 1 coxswain to help guide the dinghy. And every day that boat crew forms up on the beach and they're instructed to go through the surf and paddle several miles down the coast. And in the winter, where SEALs train in San Diego, surf can be 8 to 10 foot high. It's exceedingly difficult to paddle through that surf unless everyone digs in. Every paddle must be synchronized to the count of the coxswain. Everyone must exert equal effort of the boat, or the boat will turn against the wave and be tossed back on the beach. For the boat to make its destination, everyone must paddle. You can't change the world alone. You will need some help. And to truly get from your starting point to your destination takes friends, colleagues, the goodwill of strangers and a strong coxswain to guide them. If you want to change the world, find someone to help you paddle. And in the Christian world, the congregation is your boat. It needs a team to keep it afloat. It needs Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We should all paddle together to reach our destination. We will need Christian brothers, sisters, and the elders and deacons to guide it. When one person is failing, you and your fellow brothers can lift them up. And when you fail, they can lift you up. If you want to guide the congregation and save souls, we all need to paddle. In a typical Navy SEAL training cycle, it starts with about 150 cadets, ends with about 35. Those boat crews went from a bunch to five crews of seven men. Most of the guys are big, tall, burly guys. But when you carry a boat, you hold it up over your head, all the guys need to be the same height. Because if you got five guys 6 foot four and one guy 5 foot six, he can't help. Right? So in order to carry the boat, they put the boat crews in people all of equal sizes. So that you always got one boat crew of the little guys. The munchkin crew, as they're called. Not one over 5 foot six. When Admiral McCraven's class, the Munchkin crew had one American Indian, an African American, a Polish American, a Greek American, an Italian American, and two tough, corn-fed Midwest boys. They out-paddled, outran, and outswam all the other boat crews. The big men and the other boat crews would make good-natured fun of the tiny little flippers the Munchkins put on their tiny little feet prior to every swim. But somehow, these little guys from every corner of the nations in the world always had the last laugh because they were swimming faster than everyone and reached the shore before the rest of the boat crews. Remember the woman at the well? The widow with two mites? All of God's servants have equal standing, and those that are considered least are often first. Military training is a great equalizer because nothing matters but your will to succeed. Doesn't matter what color, what ethnicity you are, your education, or your social status. So if you want to measure the world and change it, measure a person by the size of their heart, not the size of their flippers. God has chosen his servants, his souls in heaven. So a Christian is measured by his love for God and his fellow man, not by the world standards. Think of Elijah, who at times felt so alone. He wasn't, and God let him know that. Think of Daniel, who faced death for his beliefs, yet he persevered. No scripture talks about how big or how powerful either of these men were. It wasn't their stature. It was their love for God that made them special. All right. Navy SEAL training several times a week. Instructors line up the class and they do a uniform inspection. Same thing in basic training. It was exceptionally thorough. Your hat had to be perfectly starched, your uniform immaculately pressed, and your belt buckle shiny and void of smudges. But it seemed that no matter how much effort you put into starching your hat or pressing your uniform or polishing your belt buckles, it just wasn't good enough. The instructors would find something wrong. And for failing inspection, the student had to run fully clothed into the surf and then completely wet from head to toe, roll around on the beach until every part of their body was covered in sand. That effect is known as a sugar cookie. You look like a sugar cookie. And you stay in that uniform the rest of the day, cold, wet, and sandy. There were many a student who just couldn't accept the fact that all their effort was in vain. that no matter how hard they tried to get their uniform right, it was unappreciated. Those students didn't make it through the training. Those students didn't understand the purpose of the drill. You were never going to succeed. You weren't meant to have a perfect uniform. You're never going to have that. Sometimes, no matter how well you prepare or how well you perform, you will still end up as a sugar cookie. It's just the way life is sometimes. And no matter how much we outfit ourselves with the full armor of God, no matter how hard we try, sometimes we fail. We will never be perfect as Christians. We will never stand up to the utmost scrutiny. And sometimes our sin will make us into a sugar cookie. Matthew 5 and 45 says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Yet, if we want to be a servant of God, we will spend our days as a sugar cookie. And we will pray for forgiveness for our sins, and we will keep moving forward. Every day during training, you're challenged with multiple physical events. Long runs, long swims, obstacle courses, hours of calisthenics. Something designed to test you, to test your mettle. Every event has standards, times you had to meet. And if you failed to meet those standards, your name was posted on a list. And at the end of the day, those that were on the list, even if they were a sugar cookie, were invited to join the circus. And a circus was 2 hours of additional calisthenics designed to wear you down, to break your spirit, and to force you to quit. No one wanted a circus. A circus meant that for that day you did not measure up. A circus meant more fatigue. And more fatigue meant that the following day would be more difficult and more circuses were likely. But at some time during SEAL training, everyone made that circus list. An interesting thing happened to those who were constantly on the list. Over time, those students who did 2 extra hours of calisthenics got stronger and stronger. The pain of the circuses built inner strength and physical resiliency. Well, life is filled with circuses. You will fail. You will likely fail often. It'll be painful. It will be discouraging. At times, it will test you to your very core. But if you want to change the world, don't be afraid of the circuses. As Christians, our calisthenics are often trials and tribulations. Sometimes we are faced with unending problems, loss, sadness, disappointments. If you want salvation, if you want to save others, learn, face those challenges head on. Knowing the words from James chapter 1, he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything." As the soldiers grew stronger from their circuses, we will grow stronger spiritually by ours. Don't be afraid of spiritual circuses. At least twice a week, the trainees were required to run an obstacle course. The obstacle course contained 25 obstacles, including a 10-foot high wall on one end, and a 30-foot cargo net and a barbed wire crawl, to name a few. The most challenging obstacle was called the Slide for Life. It's a 30-foot tower on one end, and 200 feet away, it's a 10-foot tower. So it slides down. You got 200-foot long rope. You have to climb up the third tower at 30 feet and work your way across that rope and make it down to the second tower. You grab the rope, swing underneath the rope, and pull yourself hand over hand until you get to the other end. The record for the obstacle course for the Navy SEALs had stood for years when the class began training in 1977. And the record seemed unbeatable until one day a student decided to go down the slide head first. Instead of hanging from the bottom, he put his weight on top of the rope and pulled himself along. It's a brave, risky move. It was a dangerous move, something foolish and fraught with risk. Failure could mean injury, being dropped from the training. But without hesitation, that student slid down the rope perilously fast. Instead of several minutes, it only took him half that time. And by the end of the course, he had broken the record. So if you want to change the world, sometimes you have to slide down the obstacle head first. If you want to save souls, sometimes you must risk losing a friend. You might risk losing your family. Sometimes you just have to take a chance. Sometimes you can step forward, lead a prayer, be the first to say no to some sinful act. Be a leader of men, not a follower. During the land warfare phase of the training, the students are flown out to San Clemente Island, which lies off the coast of San Diego. The waters off San Clemente are a breeding ground for great white sharks. And to pass SEAL training, there's a series of long swims that must be completed, and one of them is a night swim. Before that swim, the instructors joyfully briefed the trainees on all the species of sharks that inhabit the waters off San Clemente. They assure you that, however, no student has ever been eaten by a shark, at least not recently. But you're taught that if a shark starts to circle your position, the student is taught, stand your ground. Don't swim away. Don't act afraid. And if the shark, hungry for a midnight snack, darts towards you, then summon up all your strength and punch him in the snout, and he will turn and swim away. There's a lot of sharks in the world. If you hope to complete the swim, you will have to deal with them. So if you want to change the world, don't back down from the sharks. And in the spiritual realm, we deal not with sharks, but with demons. And when we are compassed with trials, beset upon by Satan's workers, don't back down. Summon up all your spiritual strength. Call upon the Lord and face him down. He will turn and swim away. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to still be standing. Stand firm, with the belt of truth buckled about your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. One of the Navy SEAL's jobs is to conduct underwater attacks against enemy shipping. They practice this technique extensively during their basic training. They drop a pair of divers off the side of a boat at least 2 miles away, and they swim underwater in the dark with nothing but a compass and a depth gauge to get to their target. And during that entire swim, well below the surface, there's some light that comes through. It's comforting to know that there is open water above. But as one approaches the ship, which is tied to a pier, the light begins to fade. The steel structure of the ship blocks the moonlight. It blocks the surrounding street lamps. It blocks all ambient light. To be successful on their mission, they have to swim under that ship and find the keel, the center line, the deepest part of the ship. This is their objective. But the keel is also the darkest part of the ship. You can't see your hand in front of your face. The noise from the ship's machinery is deafening, and it's easy to get disoriented and fail. But every SEAL knows that under that keel, at the darkest moment of their mission, is the time they were trained for. They will stay calm and composed, use their skills, their power, and their inner strength, bring it to bear. And if you want to change the world, you must be your very best in the darkest moment. Every Christian will face his dark moments. We have scripture that helps us with that. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me with quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Find your strength in God, for he is with you. The ninth week of SEAL training, we'll refer to it as torture week. It's 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and one special day at the mud flats. The mud flats are an area between San Diego and Tijuana where the water runs off, and it creates what they call the Tijuana Sluice. It's a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It's on Wednesday of this torture week that they paddle down to the mud flats, and they spend the next 15 hours trying to survive in freezing cold mud, howling wind, and the incessant pressure to quit from the instructors. As the sun began to set on that Wednesday evening of McCraven's training class, having committed some infraction, they were ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man till there was nothing visible but their heads. The instructors told the students they could leave the mud if only 5 men would quit. That's it, just 5 men. And the class could get out of that oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. But it was still over 8 hours till the sun would come up. 8 more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and shivering moans of the trainees were so loud it was hard to hear anything else. And then one voice began to echo through the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm. And one voice became two, and two became three. And before long, everyone in the class was singing. If one man can rise above the misery, then others could as well. The instructors threatened the students with more time in the mud if they kept up the singing. But the singing persisted. And somehow, the mud seemed a little warmer, the wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. There is great power in hope. The power of one person, David, Elijah, John the Baptist, and above all else, Jesus. One person can change the world by giving people hope. So if you want to change the world, start singing when you're up to your neck in mud. We have our times when we go through a spiritual version of torture week. There are times when we will feel too great a load. The temptations are too much. We grow discouraged, find ourselves covered in mud. Yet it takes one person to lift all the others up. Sing a song. A song of hope, wonderment, and praise. try how great thou art. I can't sing that song and not feel encouraged. Ask the Holy Spirit to be with you. The mud will seem a little more comfortable. The warmth of heaven, not so far away. Remember the time of David. A great army. The Philistines were at war with Israel. They had giants for soldiers. Goliath, huge, 9 feet tall. He faced down the Jewish army. He challenged them. He taunted them. And one person, a boy, he drew upon his faith, and he conquered through his faith. The act of David resulted in the entire Jewish army finding courage. They routed the Philistines and won the war, all because of one man. God was with David, and he will be with us. If you want salvation and to save others, pray and sing when you're up to your neck in mud. Finally, in SEAL training, there's a bell, a brass bell. It hangs in the center of the compound at all times for the students to see. It's brought along to the mud flats, to their training. They always have the opportunity to ring that bell. Ring the bell and you no longer have to wake up at 5 o'clock. Ring the bell and you no longer have to do the freezing cold runs. Ring the bell and you no longer have to do the obstacle course, the PT, nothing. You no longer have to endure the hardships of training. Just ring the bell. If you want to change the world, never, ever ring the bell. Satan has a bell. It's in front of you all the time. All you have to do is give up. Stop going to church. You don't have to miss Sunday ball games. You won't have to do anything you don't want to. The difference between SEAL training and salvation is that you can walk away from SEAL training. You cannot walk away from Judgment Day. It's false. Satan's bell promises you something that's not there. You cannot opt out. A Judgment Day is coming for all of us. Satan lied to Eve, and he told her she would not die if she ate of the fruit. She would become more powerful. He lied. Eve ate of the fruit, and she didn't become more powerful. She faced death. You ring Satan's bell, and you will not cease from having problems. You will cease from having salvation. If you want salvation, don't ever, ever ring that bell. Admiral McRaven finished his speech with this. To the graduating class of 2014, you are moments away from graduating, moments away from beginning your journey through life, moments away from starting to change the world for the better. It will not be easy. But you are the class of 2014, the class that can affect the lives of 800 million people in the next century. So start each day with the task completed. Find someone to help you through life. Respect everyone. Know that life is not fair and that you will fail often. But if you take some risks, step up when the times are toughest, face down the bullies, lift up the downtrodden, and never, ever give up. If you do these things, then the next generation and the generations that follow will live in a world far better than the one we have today. And what started here will indeed have changed the world for the better. And you are the children of God. You are on your journey. It will seem like moments in time and your journey on earth will end. You can start changing the world and heaven today for the better. It won't be easy. You need to develop spiritual strength. But you are the Christians that can save the souls of many. Start with the goal of just 10. If each of us can find 10 people through our lifetime, think of how many will be saved over the years. Know that life is not fair and you will fail often, but take some risks, step up when the times are toughest, and face down the bullies. Lift up the fallen and never, ever give up. If you do these things, then the next generation and the generations that follow will live in a world and face an eternity far better than we have today. And what starts as a simple baptism can change the world forever. My goal today is that you be strengthened and your batteries charged. I pray these words will help you to face your trials, knowing that like exercise, it'll make your spiritual muscles bigger. I hope that you are encouraged, knowing that God is with you, that we are with you, your fellow brothers. Make your bed. Start each day with a prayer. Find someone to help. Love your brother and your fellow man. Few things can make you feel better than helping someone else. I thank you for your time, and I hope that if anyone wants to start their journey today, they come forward as we offer the song of invitation.